My name is John Henderson, and this is my first time to speak here, so I'm thrilled and excited. My wife and I, Ruth, have been married 13 years. We have five kiddos. We live in Aubrey, Texas, so a little bit north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I'm on pastoral staff with Denton Bible Church there in Texas, and then as part of the counseling ministry, I oversee a lot of the counseling training that we do, our lay ministry teams, some of the reconciliation and counseling ministries to families and couples, and then also meet with a number of families from our church and our community each week. And in addition to that, I'm also on very limited part-time staff with the Association of Biblical Counselors and helping oversee the Center for Church Equipping and the work there out of Fort Worth, Texas. So excited to be here. Excited about what God will do by His grace, for His glory, for His church. Well, turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy 8. And that's where we'll kind of start. God searches, knows, reveals, and redeems our hearts. I think we can be thankful that we have been saved and adopted by a God who searches and knows and reveals and redeems our hearts. And some of why you're here this week is because you have felt the burden to be more equipped by the Holy Spirit of God in the Scriptures to help and to be used by God in accomplishing that very thing in the lives of other people. To be used by God as He searches, knows, reveals, and redeems our hearts and the hearts of those around us. And so what I thought we would do this morning is just talk about how do we see God doing that in the Scriptures? And in particular, give you a few just practical resources that can help guide you in conversation with the men or women or couples that you're serving and helping them see what God is exposing, what God is revealing, what God is teaching, what God is redeeming in their hearts and lives. This is Deuteronomy 8. It's a great passage where by this time they're at the close of the wilderness wandering. Moses is addressing this congregation for the final time in a series of sermons. And in the early chapters, he's recounting these previous decades. And here's what he says. Verse 2, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years." That's a remarkable statement. And what he means is remember with fondness. Remember with thanksgiving. In Deuteronomy 1, it's going to say that God carried Israel in the wilderness like a father would carry his son. That it was that tender, that affectionate, that gracious. And so he's saying here, remember with great gratitude. Remember with appreciation. He says, the way the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness. It's usually not what we would put next, right? Remember the way the Lord your God has tenderly, graciously, wonderfully led you through just paradise, your life, right? And kept you from pain and suffering and hardship. He's not going to say that. He's going to say in the wilderness. That's where he's going to lead them. And then it wasn't just for a few days, which is our version, right, of sanctification. 3-day increments. And then God gives us a 3-month respite, and then we go back in again for 3 days of hard training. He says, no, 40 years. He's going to tell them why. He says that he might humble you. There's the first thing. He can bring you to a place where if God doesn't give water, you die. And that's really humbling. If God doesn't give food, you die. And that's really humbling. If God does not protect you from the Amalekites that are attacking, you're going to die. Where he's pressing into the very forefront of their minds, their moment by moment, second by second, hour by hour, need for God. And that's very humbling. And as we're going to look at in this session, and it's one of the most essential, important, life-giving things God can ever do to us. Because there's nothing more destructive, more alienating from God than pride, than self-sufficiency, than I don't really need him but a couple times a week or month when I get in a tough spot. Now he's going to bring them there, as he does us, to humble us. And he says, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, do you really think God didn't know what was in their heart? So when he says testing you to know what was in your hearts, it's important to see that wasn't for God's benefit. It was for theirs, as it is for ours. Because if you were to ask these 2 million strong of Israel, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What do you think they would say? If I were to ask now, put up your hands if you love Jesus. We'd all put up our hands. And we should. It's just we often don't realize how fragile, how immature, how conditioned on circumstances that love and affection can be. And so God's going to say, so let's see. Let's bring to the wilderness 40 years, food and water, day by day, hour by hour, humble you, and really see what's on the inside. Just think about the moments where what was really in you really came out of you. It's probably hot, you were tired, you hadn't eaten. It's been a long day, lots of ministry, the children are bickering and arguing. Your spouse isn't sort of rotating in your universe the way they're supposed to. And the pressure goes up. And what's in now comes out. And so part of the grace of God leading these people into the wilderness is to create an environment where they get squeezed. And what's in can really come out so that they can deal with it. And he says, he humbled you and let you be hungry. Which again, this kind of turns and challenges our view of who a loving God is. Do we really think of a loving God as a father who would let his children be hungry? And the answer is yes, because there's something else bigger, more valuable, more precious he's after. He says, he humbled you and let you be hungry, and then fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Meaning in a miraculous way, something that you've never seen before, something that cannot be explained by anything in the natural realm. Manna from heaven. The dew comes down, the dew lifts, and there's manna. Every day, where there's no other explanation, but God provided this. And here's why. He says, to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So to humble you, to expose you, and now to teach you, you don't live, you don't exist, you don't have your being and your meaning now or eternally by physical stuff, by just physical bread, but by the very Word of God, by the very person of God. Ultimately, we're going to see by the very person of Christ, who's going to be our bread of life, that God is displaying himself here as their provider and ultimately their bread of life. And so for 40 years, we're going to just see that repetitive theme be challenged and worked through. And I don't think it's any different for us today. God will redeem us, save us from Egypt, bring us through the Red Sea, and then walk us right into the wilderness. 40 years to humble, to expose, and now to teach this most precious truth that we don't live by the created stuff, but by the Creator. Because I think we'd all like to think we know ourselves. As you sit with men and women and couples to counsel and encourage them, one thing you realize is they will walk in thinking they know themselves. We all do this. That when we recount the story of our lives, when we share what's going on, when we give our take on the problem, our take with what we need help with, what we first assume is that we see it rightly and that no one knows me better than me. And what God is going to show is that isn't true. Many people know me better than me. Firstly, God and probably those around me. Jeremiah 17, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And the thought is, no one, humanly. And then God says in the very next verse, I, the